What is the purpose of a guard? A guard keeps watch for the enemy. He understands that the enemy is near, intent on his destruction. A good guard knows that the enemy could attack at any moment. The guard's posted to protect the camp, to sound the alarm, to give the call to arms when the enemy approaches. An effective guard is always on high alert. Well, welcome to the Point of Purity podcast. I'm your host, Steve Ettner, author, national speaker, and purity coach for the Pure Man Ministry. This is episode number 83, and in this week's episode, we continue our discussion on understanding the mind by looking at Proverbs 4:23, which says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." The words "above all else" in the verse that I just quoted, Proverbs 4:23, those words refer to having a faithful, unwavering, focused commitment to something, far more than you do to anything else. It means that this thing that you're focused on, the thing that you're committed to, is so important that it takes the highest priority in your life. Simply put, nothing, absolutely nothing, should be more important to you than to have a faithful, unwavering, focused commitment to always guarding your heart. In Proverbs 4:23, we're commanded to always guard our hearts above all else. So, why? Why must I set a guard around my heart? Why is it the highest priority over anything and everything else? I think first, we need to understand what the Word of God means when it says guard your heart. Your heart here is it's so much more than the muscle in your chest that's going thumpity thump thump. It's far more than just where your emotions occur. The word heart here in Proverbs 4:23, "above all else, guard your heart," is the Hebrew word lebeh. It refers to the place where all of your thinking and your decision-making happens. Now, where is that? Where does your thinking, where does your decision-making occur? It's your mind. It's the seat of all your understanding and knowledge. Your mind. It's the starting point of everything you say and everything you do. It's your mind. And God is telling us here in Proverbs 4:23 of the vital necessity, the crucial importance of placing a constant, consistent guard over your mind. So now let's ask this question. Why is it so critical? Why is it so vital? Why is it so crucial? Why is it so important that my highest priority is to guard my mind? Why does God say above all else? Well, the answer is found in Proverbs 4:23. Listen as I quote it for you again. "Above all else, guard your heart, protect your mind, for it," your mind, "is the wellspring of life." In other words, everything you say and everything you do begins and ends with everything you think. Your thoughts determine the kind of life you're going to live. If you were tuned in to last week's episode, then you know we talked about a fountain or a well, and what's being tossed into the well, what's tainting the well. Well, just like the fountains and the wells in Bible times could be tainted, and the tainted water would affect the community water source. So allowing sinful thoughts into your mind can pollute your entire life. This is why it's of highest importance that you set a constant guard over your mind. If your thoughts, now track with me now, if your thoughts are pure and holy, then the things that you do, the things that you say, will be just and good. They will be pure, they will be holy. On the flip side, if you allow any type of sin to taint your thinking, your actions and your words will not glorify God. From your mind springs all of the decisions and actions of life. So now that we're equipped with that understanding, let's take another look at Proverbs 4:23. Above all else. with an unwavering, focused commitment, guard your heart. Protect the place where all of your thinking and all of your decision-making occurs. Protect your mind. For your thought process is the wellspring of life. How you live flows out of what you think. Are you tracking with me here? If we're going to glorify God in our everyday living, He must first be glorified in our every moment thinking. Now, this isn't just a quaint or trite little saying that I keep repeating over and over again and close out every episode with. This comes from the very mouth of God as a mandate for every Christian. Above all else, protect your mind. Guard your heart. You're to have a focused commitment. You're to be faithful and unwavering in setting this guard of protection over your mind, because from your thoughts come your actions. Do you get the idea that God wants you and I to be serious about what we think? Proverbs 4:23 is a clear-cut warning from heaven itself to be constantly and consistently on our guard regarding what we allow to enter into our mind. Let's face it, every day of our lives, multiple times throughout every day, we are faced with choices. Am I going to be a listener or a doer of God's word? James 1:22. If guarding your mind, now listen, watch this. If guarding your mind is not your highest priority, oh my friend, it needs to be. And it needs to be now. As you look into the mirror of Scripture, has God ever revealed a blemish in your life? This morning or this afternoon or this evening, whenever you're listening to this podcast, as you're hearing the command of Proverbs 4:23 to above all else, at all times, be diligent about placing a vigilant guard of protection around your mind, are you going to sit here and listen to this episode and say, wow, Steve, that's a really good point. I ought to do that. And then do nothing about it? If that's how you respond to this episode, then God says you are deceiving yourself, James 1:22. You're deceiving yourself, not because you're choosing to not heed my warning, but you're choosing to ignore God's word. The most effective way I have found to set a guard over my mind is to memorize Scripture. Psalm 119 verse 11 challenges us to hide God's word in our hearts. In other words, memorize Scripture so that when temptation comes knocking on your heart's door, and we all know it's going to come, you know you're going to be tempted. When that temptation comes, we have God's word, God's truth, God's principles, God's standards at the ready to protect our mind from the enemy's attack. And in so doing, we won't sin against our Heavenly Father, Psalm 119, verse 11. Setting a guard over your mind begins with filling your mind with Scripture. Now, I've heard the argument, I've given the argument, I don't do well at memorizing, especially Scripture. If that's your excuse, I've got a little exercise for you, something I'd like you to do right now. Wherever you're at, I'd like you to participate in this. So whether you're driving down the road or sitting at your desk, wherever you might be listening to this episode right now, there are two things I want you to do. First one is this. I'm going to count to three. And at the count of three, I want you to say out loud your phone number, area code, and phone number. Okay, you ready? 1, 2, 3. How'd you do? Do you remember your phone number? Did you forget it? Here's the second one. Again, I'm going to count to three. And at the count of three, I want you to say out loud your address, your physical address. So I want your house number, street, city, state, and zip all together. All right? Count to three. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Okay. How'd you do? Did you forget your address? I'm going to wager that with both your phone number and your address, you didn't forget them. So don't tell me you can't memorize. You can memorize. What makes the difference is when you recognize the value of having it memorized and the value of having it memorized correctly. You see, it's vital. It is important to have your phone number memorized correctly. If you're off by one digit, what's going to happen? Well, the person you give the number to is never going to be able to reach you. If you're giving out your address and you're off by one digit on your house number or one digit on the zip code, or you misspell a particular city, or even if you put the wrong letters in the state, what's going to happen? You're not going to receive your package. You're not going to receive the mail. So you understand the vital importance of having it memorized correctly. You understand the value of having it memorized so that you can present it anytime it's instantly needed. You also are able to quote the phone number and the address because you use it on a regular basis. Oh, please, please hear me. Please hear me. Setting a guard over your mind begins with filling your mind with Scripture. Oh, my friend, it is vital that we are extremely careful about what we allow our eyes to see. You know, say, wait a minute, you just talked about my mind. Yes, track with me. What you see strongly influences what you think, and what you think will eventually become what you do. Now, I know. If you've been following this podcast for any length of time, then what I just said probably sounds like I'm droning on and on and on about the same thing over and over and over again. I get it, Steve. I get it. Well, in a sense, you're right. I am droning on and on and on about the same principle over and over and over again. But do you understand why? You see, if what we do is to glorify God, and it is, then does it not make sense that what we think must also glorify Him? Because what I think becomes what I do. And if what I think is to glorify God, then does it not also make sense that what I see and what I hear should be glorifying to God as well? Because what I'm seeing and hearing influences what I think, and what I think impacts what I do. Listen, every day of your life, multiple times throughout the day, you are faced with choices about what you're going to say and what you're going to do. Am I right? That means that every day, multiple times throughout the day, you are faced with choices about what am I going to think? Are you going to choose to see only those things that encourage you to think godly thoughts and thereby live a godly life? I can't make you do it. There's a part of me that wishes I could reach through the microphone and grab hold of you and shake you and say, come on, dude, get your act together. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, speaking of those who follow the corrupt desires of their flesh, moving on to verse 14, Peter says, with eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. Let me repeat that. For 2 Peter 2:14. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. What you see strongly influences what you think, and what you think powerfully impacts what you do. So if your focus is on ungodly, sinful, evil things, wicked things, your behavior will subsequently be ungodly and sinful. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said this, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Matthew 6, 22 and 23. Now, the reason I bring that verse out is because I find it very interesting that Jesus used the word lamp to refer to something that shows the body which way to move, your eyes. In other words, what you see has a direct impact on what you do. This isn't coming from Steve Ettner. This is coming from Jesus himself in Matthew 6. If your eyes are good, if they're focused on the things that will glorify God, then the deeds that you do will also be good. The things you say, the things you do will glorify God. Why? Because your thoughts are glorifying Him. But if all you if you If you allow yourself to continuously see things that are ungodly, your lifestyle, the things you say and the things that you do, will eventually reflect that choice. It will become ungodly and sinful. Here's the point I'm trying to make. Every moment of every day, we need to make decisions about what we're going to read, what we're going to watch, or even what we're going to listen to. Are there certain types of media that God has put his stamp of approval on? Are there others that he has definitely said, don't watch that? Now, you may be quick to respond and say, well, no, not literally, not really. But I want to share with you the answer is a definitive yes. But not in the way you might expect, not in the way you might desire. You see, the Apostle Paul challenges us in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, to be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I submit that God does have a will for you in what you should be seeing and what you shouldn't. He says the wise man is going to understand what that will is. But here's the thing. You're not going to find a listing anywhere in Scripture that says, thou shalt watch these things and thou shalt not watch those. Wouldn't it be so much easier if God published Heaven's Weekly Theater Reviews, God's Movie Guide for the Christian, to show us which movies, which TV shows, which books and magazines receive his two thumbs up? Instead, God expects us to exercise godly wisdom and discernment given to us from the Holy Spirit through this reading and understanding and memorization and obedience to God's word. God says in Proverbs 17, verse 24, that a discerning man keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. Oh, my friend, don't be a fool. Where are you letting your eyes wander? And I'm not just talking about at the beach or in a public place. I'm talking about when you pull out your smartphone, your tablet, your computer, when you turn on the TV, when you're walking down the street, you're driving down the road. Where are your eyes wandering? Don't be a fool. Understand God's will for purity and godliness, and don't let your eyes wander. Well, be sure to come back next week for episode number 84 as we continue this discussion of understanding and protecting our mind. We're going to unpack some more truth from Scripture. And in the meantime, let me encourage you to go back into our archives and listen to any of the episodes you may have missed. And if you'd like to learn more about today's study, or if you're interested in learning more about the Pure Man Ministry and how we help men and women across the globe pursue purity in their lives and have victory over lust and porn and masturbation, be sure to check out our website. There are a multitude of resources that are available to you there on that site. You can go to The Purity Coach. That's all one word, thepuritycoach.com. One of the resources I mentioned in last week's episode, I'd like to mention again today, is a book that I've written entitled, Are You a Superman? How to Become God's Man of Steel. It's available today on Amazon.com. And the reason I want to point it out is this. If you're a man looking for a 12-week men's Bible study, something you can do with your accountability partners or with a small men's group or a men's church group or even by yourself, I want to suggest this is a must-do. Are You a Superman of God? Becoming God's Man of Steel. When I wrote it, I wrote it to be a fun look at what it means to be a Superman of God, God's Man of Steel, in a world that is anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Scripture. You see, as Christian men, we try to be the Superman of God that others want, that others need, that others expect us to be, and we do fairly well most of the time at least presenting the spiritual man of steel persona to those around us, especially our family members. And yet, somehow inwardly, we know that we're far from being the godly man that we ought to be, that we want to be. Well, as a Superman of God, now watch this. As a Superman of God, your strength, your ability to stand firm and resist the enemy, your power to effectively live a life that honors and glorifies God comes directly from your close proximity, your relationship with God's Son, S-O-N. You see, the closer you are in a relationship to Christ, the greater your power to resist the archenemy of your soul and watch him flee from you. That's based on James 4:7. And yet, hey, let's be honest, truth be told, you have a weakness, don't you? It's your kryptonite. It's that radioactive element of your life that you lived before Christ. It's your past. Your past sins, your past choices. And your spiritual archenemy uses those past moments, your kryptonite, to his advantage. I mean, the fact is, when you play around with your kryptonite, when you toy around with past temptations or that feel like they're current temptations, it weakens your will. It weakens your ability to stand firm and fight. Well, in this 12-week men's Bible study called Are You a Superman of God? How to Become God's Man of Steel, it's written in such a way that you're going to learn how to identify your kryptonite. Not only that, but you're going to learn how to steer clear of it. You're going to find your super spiritual strength as you daily draw closer to the Son of God in a personal relationship with him and become the man of steel that God has called and equipped you to be. So let me encourage you, if this has piqued your interest and curiosity, would you go to Amazon.com and purchase your copy of Are You a Superman of God, Becoming God's Man of Steel? Or go to our website, thepuritycoach.com, and up in the upper menu, go to Resources and click on the link that says Recommended Reading, and there's a page that talks about this book. Well, if you've not yet subscribed to the Point of Purity podcast, let me encourage you to do so today. I don't want you to miss any of our upcoming episodes. Well, until next time, this is author, speaker, and purity coach Steve Etner reminding you, if you're going to glorify God in your everyday living, he must first be glorified in your every moment thinking.